All right, starting in Romans chapter 5. Now, this is the continuation from yesterday. We talked yesterday about being born again. And we talked about that the true born-again experience is not just the reconciliation of your spirit to God through faith, but it's also the resurrection of your body. When we talk about salvation, it's always referred to, like from Galatians 4, as the adoption as sons. The adoption of sons. In Romans 8, you can read about this. Where in both of us, it tells us our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. But as you travel through chapter 8, you see that the adoption of sons, there, chapter 8 in Romans, the adoption of sons is the redemption of the body. What we have now in the way of salvation is this communion with God, where our spirits have been reconciled to God through faith. But we only have it by faith. No one stands in faith for what he already has. We're standing in faith for our salvation. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, the salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time. And this is the resurrection of the dead. It's not just the redemption of our spirits into this communion, this reconciliation to God through faith, but it is also the redemption of your body. Now Romans 5 tells us about these two parts to our salvation. And that the part in between is the time of grace, this sanctification, and how we have access into this grace. And this is what we're going to study today. So let's start in chapter 5, verse 1. Actually, a better place to start would be in chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to learn about Abraham's faith in the comparison to our faith. Because it really talks, because Abraham, you can see that Abraham wasn't saved. That what he did have, though, he had by faith. Now, we are on, you know, Abraham was on one side of Jesus' coming, and we're on the other side. One side before it was done, him being crucified on the cross and rising from the dead. And we're on the other side where he has been crucified and did rise from the dead. But both of us are greeting our salvation from afar. But Abraham had both of those things to greet, that communion with God, that reconciliation, and the resurrection. We have only the resurrection. And the type of communion that Abraham had from God, while it was through the Holy Spirit, he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him, and that's the difference. That's why he had to greet both of those on the other side. So it tells us in verse 16, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, and that would be us. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, God, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls things that are not as though they were. Now, this is what we're going to focus on. This is what it means to have what we have by faith through a promise. Through a promise. It is God calling things that are not as though they were. And this is what confuses a lot of people. When you read to the Bible and it speaks of our salvation as a fact, you've got to keep in mind that it also speaks that your body is dead, as if it's a fact. That the old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And you see this very clearly portrayed in Romans chapter 6. You see it again in Romans chapter 8, that if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, anyone who has the Spirit of Christ in them, the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. So when you look at those verses that says you are indeed saved, it's talking about through faith. In the same way where it's telling you as a fact that your body is dead, it's talking about through faith. Because you can look in the mirror and see that your body is dead. In the same way you can look in the mirror and see that you do not yet have your resurrection body. So faith follows along this principle, as it did with Abraham. It is God calling things that are not as though they were. And that's the promise. And the thing is, faith us in faith agrees with that promise. God has called us children when we are not His children. He has called us saved when we are not yet saved. Just as He has called our old men dead when they are not yet dead. This is what it means to have it by faith. And let me read that again. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. That grace, let me explain. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's something you never could have earned. It's given to you. It's grace. It's favor given you to God that you don't deserve. And it comes through Christ. The promise comes by faith, that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That's God's nature. So against all hope, it tells us, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Now, what does it mean, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations? If he was to walk by outwardly as us, and we have this in common with Abraham, where our faith is concerned, where God calling is calling things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Now, the promise to Abraham was from God that he would be the father of many nations. But his body was dead. And we're told that Sarah's womb was barren and next to dead. There's no way they could produce a child of themselves. But Abraham didn't stumble at what he saw, because he knew this about God. He is the God that calls things that are not as if they were. And so he called Abraham the father of many nations, and Abraham believed it. He didn't stumble at the promise, as it tells us. But he accepted he was the father of many nations long before Isaac was ever born. And God caused him to be at the right time. It's God who brought him into existence. Well, we're trusting God for the same thing. God calls us dead when we're not, and alive when we're not. He calls us born again when we're not. And he calls us dead to sin when we're not. But we believe and we consider ourselves to be those things that God called us, because it's based on a promise that we know God is willing and able to fulfill. And he has given us Jesus as the proof of this. Can y'all see it? So this is the essence of what our faith is based on. So it was against all hope. It was against any natural hope that Abraham believed in hope and so became the father of many nations. So his hope was in a supernatural hope, was in a supernatural source, God, not by what he saw. So against all hope, Abraham believed in hope. In hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. See, and you've got to understand this. We're looking forward to a righteousness that Christ will bring. Right? We don't have it now. We have it through faith. See, we have Jesus now. Jesus is our righteousness. It was credited to Abraham just like it was given to us. It's not of ourselves, just like it wasn't of Abraham. Our faith in what God has promised. God has promised us righteousness. And this is the point. He will make us righteous where we cannot. This is why it's credited to him as righteousness. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. Now, this is an important point before we go on. It is also to us to whom God will credit righteousness. Notice now, this is written to believers. This is written to people who are already Christians, who have received Jesus as the Lord and Savior. This is written to the Roman congregation of that time. It was credited to them as righteousness. Listen to this again. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, it knocks it down into these two things. Delivered to death for our sins and raised to life for our justifications. Justifications. These two things have to be played out in you. You must be delivered over to death because of sin and raised to life through the justification Jesus brings. These two points of your salvation must be played out. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to step back just a second where it tells us the words that was credited to him were not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. Now, you hear the once saved, always saved people talk today, and you hear these people who believe that because they said the pretty words, it's all done and over with, they're saved. Notice what it says, to whom God will credit righteousness. To us, whom God will credit righteousness. The words that was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. Now, when will that righteousness come into effect? Is it now? No. What the righteousness we have now is by faith. But it tells us this in the book of Galatians, in chapter 5. Listen to what it says. When he was talking to them about circumcision, he says in verse 4 of chapter 5 in Galatians, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Remember, Abraham stood in grace through faith. "But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope." Now notice that we are waiting for the righteousness for which we hope. Where does that righteousness come from? Where is it going to happen? We're waiting for it through hope. Remember Abraham, against hope, stood in hope? Remember what it says? Abraham against all hope? Let me read it to you again. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations." And it goes on to tell us about this hope. "He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." He didn't actually have it. He had a promise. And he was persuaded that God was willing and able to do it, right? And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words that was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Notice, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is at work in us. And so this is why Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, "Again I declare, you who are trying to be justified by law, you've been alienated from Christ, you have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we don't have it, we stand in faith for it, by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope." That hope is the resurrection of the dead. And that's when you'll receive the righteousness that is credited to you. The words that was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. So, these two points, you're going to see that your salvation is accomplished between these two points. Delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now this lays the pattern for Romans chapter 5. It tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not actually, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. What is this access into this grace in which we now stand? What is this access? It's access to the Father. To come boldly before his throne of grace and petition him. We're told about this over and over in the New Testament. See, Our access is through the death of Christ and His righteousness. And His righteousness is credited to us so that we can enter in. It's not our righteousness, it's His. When will you get your righteousness? We just showed you, when you're raised from the dead. We will receive that righteousness for which we hope. It will be credited to us in the same way it was credited to Abraham. So it says, since we have been justified through faith, faith in what? Jesus' sacrifice. That it's enough to get us to God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not at war with Him anymore. See, Jesus, we were His enemies. Remember, Jesus died for us while we were yet His enemies? We were enemies of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God's law, and neither indeed can it be. So, but now we have peace with God because Jesus has brought us that peace by dying to pay our sins. So God has nothing to be mad at you about. He has nothing. There's no sin that comes between you and Him. You're at peace with Him through Jesus. But that's only by your faith in Jesus and that sacrifice. And so you've gained access by faith into the grace in which you now stand. Now, this access is about that communion we have through the body and blood of Jesus to come boldly before the Father's throne. We have access into that grace to stand before God clean when we're not clean. Remember, we go back. It's God calling things that are not as though they were. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God is that hope of righteousness. It is the resurrection of the dead. So let's read it all together. Since now we have been justified through faith, you couldn't justify yourself. Jesus' sacrifice justifies you. He laid down His life in your place. So we have peace with God because He bought it with His sacrifice. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Through whom, Jesus, we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Well, that gives you a completely different description of what people are saying salvation is, doesn't it? You have access to God. That's what you have now. By faith in the sacrifice into this grace in which you now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're looking forward to the resurrection where our salvation will be completed. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So what are we really saying when we talked about we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering, now we suffer, then in the resurrection we'll have it all. Now we suffer, then in the resurrection we'll have it all. Right? But building toward that resurrection, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint. See, between that suffering and the hope is what's being built, and that is what we call a sanctification process. You're being sanctified by God. Through suffering, you're learning to persevere. And that perseverance is building an eternal character with you you'll have forever. And that character character builds the hope of the resurrection, makes it clear to you. And this hope will not disappoint because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Remember who it is that groans with us for the resurrection of the dead, as it says in Romans 8? It's the Holy Spirit. That we're assured that that hope does not disappoint because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Christ dwells in us, those of us who believe, whom He has given us. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit He has given us. And so you can see the Spirit is the basis of our communion with God. How we can enter in before God's throne is through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. This is our communion and is given to us through the body and blood of Christ. This is the righteousness that's credited to us. We have it now by faith. It is a portion. It is a down payment, as it says in Ephesians 1. So you see, just as at the right time, when we were still powerless. Now, we talked about that last night. We were powerless to save ourselves. This is why you must be born again of the Spirit. You couldn't save yourself. While you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, he died for us while we were yet his enemies. Since now we have been justified by his blood, Jesus is our faith is in that sacrifice, remember. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? It wasn't just him on the cross. Remember what it says. He was delivered over to death for our sins, but raised to life for our justification. The proof that his blood justifies us is that God raises us from the dead. See how that comes out? The proof that Jesus' death was enough to justify us is that God raises us from the dead. So our salvation falls between these two points. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justifications and the justification. And those two points have to be done in you. For if you were God's enemies and you were reconciled through the death of his Son, that's what you have now, a reconciliation. Through the Spirit, Holy Spirit in you, where you can enter boldly before the throne of grace through faith and commune with him and come to know him, that starts the sanctification process and brings you to that hope. So we know that all this together, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, that's our communion, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved? Shall we be saved? It's in the future, the resurrection, through his life. If we've been justified through his death, how much more shall we be saved through his life? If we can be reconciled through his life, through his death, how much more shall we be justified by his death? Saved through his life, the resurrection. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So, can you see that there's a difference between the reconciliation you now have with God through the sacrifice of Christ that enables you to come in communion before God and come to know him, that enables you to be a partaker of the divine nature in you, the Holy Spirit, which sanctifies you and builds you toward that promise of hope, and then you will be saved through his life. When that hope becomes real, the resurrection of the dead. Can you see now that what you have now, you have by faith? And that you won't actually have that righteousness for which you hope until you receive the resurrection of the dead. And it was the same with Abraham. The words that was credited to him were not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, but raised to life for our justification. And so your salvation is accomplished between these two parts. Now let's make this point. These two parts coincide exactly with the first coming of Jesus and the second coming. Now you'll understand why he came twice. His first coming is your justification. He died for you to reconcile you through the Spirit to God. His second coming is to bring you the resurrection of the dead to complete your salvation. And this is what Peter tells us. Again, we read this last night, and now we can read it with even more of a fullness, more of an understanding. What we really want to hit on here is the fact that our salvation is accomplished in these two parts. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, we're going to read this. Praise God. Praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. See it? Your new birth is now by faith, but it's into a living hope. And what's that hope? The resurrection of the dead. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you see these two points. New birth into a living hope. Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection. Jesus' first coming, his second coming. So your reconciliation to God is through his first coming. That living hope is the second coming, the resurrection of the dead. You were given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. You don't have it now. It's kept in heaven for you. You don't have it now. It's kept in heaven for you. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. See it? Until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the resurrection of the dead. In this you greatly rejoice. Though for now, for a little while, that sanctification process, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. You see that sanctification process? You're suffering trials and all kinds and griefs and all kinds of trials so that your faith may be tested and may be found genuine. That's the grace period, isn't it? That's the sanctification period. That's the point from the time you receive Jesus through faith until the time you receive the resurrection of the dead. That's where hope is being built in you. This is the testing of your faith that occurs in that point, in between those two points. So these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. May result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's his second coming. Though you've not seen him, you love him. That's faith. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. That's faith. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Partakers of the divine nature. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, remember what a soul is. Genesis 2:7. God created man from the dust of the ground, first the body. Then he breathed into the spirit of life, then the spirit, and man became a living soul. You are a living soul. And if you want to see the restoration of your soul, it's not just your spirit redeemed, but your body as well, the resurrection of the dead. This is your new birth. Right now you have it by faith. You'll have it as an entirety at the resurrection of the dead, the salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. And that's why we have Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. That's why we have Abraham, to whom it was credited for righteousness. And that's why it tells us very clearly, it wasn't just serving them, it was serving us that this was done in them. If we can go back to Romans, and I can read you that part again, because it makes it very clear, doesn't it? The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. See it? You see how Peter's in direct harmony with what Paul is saying here? Because we learn what faith is from the people of faith in the Old Testament. And how they waited and suffered and did not receive the things that were promised. And if you go, and I want to complete this, of what we have learned from the heroes of faith, how their hope was never just what they could receive now, but their hope was always in the resurrection of the dead. Whatever they did was for that final outcome. Whatever they did was for that final outcome. Listen to this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. What do we hope for? The resurrection. And certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. Let me get down to verse 11. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, and this is the one Paul was talking about, right? Was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as countless as the sands of the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They didn't see them. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Why? Because you know the character and nature of God, the one who promised it. And you can count that he is willing and able to bring it to you, right? That's what we were just told in Romans 4. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. See, it wasn't Isaac Abraham was looking for. It was Jesus, the true child of promise. It wasn't just Isaac. It wasn't the physical land of Israel that Abraham was looking for, but he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for that eternal city. So they were still living by faith when they died, and they didn't receive that. They didn't receive the resurrection. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. Ooh, and that's what you are. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, the physical, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they're longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. Now, tomorrow we're going to get into more into Hebrews 11 as we continue on with these talks about faith and grace and salvation. But you can see that the real hope of the gospel has always been according to the spiritual. The real hope of the gospel has always been about the resurrection of the dead, about the physical being reconciled to the spiritual through Jesus Christ. And right now you have that through faith. You don't have the resurrection of the dead in your pocket. As it tells us in Romans 8, hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he already has? But if you hope for what you do not have, you wait for it. And this is set in context with the adoption of sons is the redemption of the body. So our salvation is indeed the salvation of our souls, the resurrection of the dead. And the scriptures become very plain when you look at what the scriptures say instead of what men tell you. This is a good place to stop.